It's Saturday Night.
Five.
Saturday night.
Get ready for the Saturday night.
Louder.
We are back. Welcome to Diamond Saturday Night. Saturday night. It's I feel rusty because we took a week off here. I took 2 weeks off my other podcast. I haven't done a podcast in a really long time. Please make sure you subscribe, rate, and review in the Going for Two Live podcast feed. Please make sure that if you're watching here on YouTube now or later, that you subscribe, like the video, turn on notifications, comment, et cetera, et cetera. Feed the algorithm. Speaking of feeding the algorithm, we're here to talk about Dynasty Fantasy Football and undervalued wide receivers, because if you say that out loud at the beginning of the video, somehow it helps. I'm not really sure. So I'm Brian Ford here with my co-host, Josh Walker. Josh, how you doing?
Doing great. Hey, whatever we got to do to pay the bills, let's do it. I'm actually really excited to talk wide receivers. It's by a decent margin my favorite position to break down, rank, and all that stuff. So I'm excited.
All right. I have a masochistic fascination with running backs, I think, but wide receivers are a lot of fun. So just for folks who forget, Dynasty Saturday Night Five, we just do kind of lists of five as a way to talk about the topic that we're going to talk about. And tonight we're talking about wide receivers, but particularly wide receivers and their startup values, and finding ones that we think might be going, if not too late overall in the rank of wide receivers, certainly after some guys that are make us scratch our heads. At least that's kind of how I picked out some of them. So that's kind of how I'm defining value. Some of them are more like, oh, I have this guy ranked X and he's taking it X. But also, it's for me, it's like he's going two rounds after this guy. And I think what I'm seeing in startups recently is that like the really elite wide receivers, because everybody hates running backs now, right? So like the really elite wide receivers are going super early, right? So there's running back value, right? So I think part of what I want to suss out tonight is if you're not going to take one of those like super elite wide receivers because you don't feel like spending that pick there, you know, who's left that could kind of be a value and help you out? So for example, Jalen Waddle coming off the board at wide receiver six, I'm fine with that as wide receiver six, but coming off the board at like 205, right? Like, you know, I don't know that I'm on board with that, right? And especially in a super flex. So what were your thoughts going into this episode, kind of how you're looking at wide receivers and startups?
So the ones I'm actually going to talk about, one of my favorite things is trying to find these wide receivers who, when you draft them, they're kind of down on your bench, but they can give you wide receiver two or three upside. And that's, I think that's the best way to really separate yourself from the competition, is later round guys you draft end up hitting while other people are having to throw in their late round guys and getting 3 or 4 points, if that even. So that's kind of what I was aiming for with a few of mine. But other than that, yeah, I'm with you. I don't like to take them super early if I'm not getting a stud like Garrett Wilson. Even I usually don't touch him till the third round. Most of that's due to me getting two quarterbacks right off the bat.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm trying to do, right? So I mean, and maybe I need to be more flexible with that approach depending on where I draft, but you know, just we have CeeDee Lamb 112, AJ Brown 201, Garrett Wilson 204, Jalen Waddle 207. I'm on Ross St. Brown 208 and Labe 301. To me, those are guys that like the order that they're going off in, whatever, but like maybe a little early, you know. And some guys like Dak Prescott, Kyler Murray, Deshaun Watson, you know, some running backs are certainly now getting discounted because of that. But okay, so if you're saying to yourself, all right, I'm not going to take Garrett Wilson, I'm going to take Breece Hall or whatever, or a second quarterback. Okay, Brian and Josh, well, then who the hell do I take as my wide receiver too, right? And that's kind of what like how, what I'm trying to answer tonight. So before we get going, though, please make sure that you check out Underdog Fantasy. They are the industry leader with best ball tournaments, pick'ems, all sorts of, you know, you can do private leagues. They're doing best ball mania and Dalmatians and Chihuahuas and puppies and poodles and all that jazz. I'm kind of hooked now. Like I've never really been that much into best ball, but like, honestly, it's keeping me from joining too many startups. And it's like every once in a while, the thing comes up on my phone, like, oh, it's my pick, you know, so having some fun with that. Well, if you are new to Underdog, you can create a new account and use the promo code GF2 and get a deposit match of up to $100. So you can do all sorts of things. Now, they have a shiny QR code here for us to use for those of you watching on video. They have other sports besides football. You know, they've got, you know, golf and some sport called baseball that Josh, you know, continues to
hate it,
demand to watch. You know, and they actually have like season long things that you can pick on now too, like somebody's you know, receiving yards for the season, and you can go higher or lower on that. So all sorts of fun stuff there. So go to underdog.com or go to the Underdog app, use the promo code GF2, get a deposit match of up to $100. If you're a new account, put some money in, start playing, start winning. Speaking of other stuff that we're promoting, Personal League Podcast, PLPs, what is that? It's a live podcast with guys like us or people like us talking about your Dynasty League for you live on YouTube. So go to goingfor2.com and find the Personal League Podcast there. It's a lot of fun. I like doing them. We break some hearts and bust some chops, but it's a lot of fun, and it's something that really I think gets the buzz and the activity going in your leagues if it's kind of, you know, a little sleepy this time of year especially. Okay, so startup values at the wide receiver position. Start us off.
All right, so real quick, I just want to get the one point. Starting out the startups in second round, the only two wide receivers I'm taking are A.J. Brown and C.D. Lamb. Outside of that, because of the massive tier we have, we both have from about 18 to 19 to 30, 31.
Yeah,
you can get plenty after that. I'd rather get a stud running back or quarterback or one of the top five wide receivers I have in Dynasty. So I just want to throw that in there. So jumping to my first guy, I'm going to start. So I did three guys that are lower ranked. I'm going to start with one of them. I'm going to start with Rashid Shaheed. He is one of my favorite targets in startup drafts, and the reason is Fantasy Pros has him ranked 87th at wide receiver. Bulletproof ADP has him going at the start of the 16th round as wide receiver 72, so they're a little higher on him. I have him ranked up at 61, and even that, he can move up pretty quickly. In 2022, he managed to get 488 yards on only 28 receptions, which is, I think, around 17 yards a carry. So he has really good big playability, both throwing the deep and throwing underneath and making people miss and converting yards after the catch. He did get two touchdowns, and he's really dynamic with the ball, as shown by him getting some rushing attempts and even getting a touchdown. He averaged over 14 yards a carry. And he can play both the slot and the inside. He's really good at shorter inside breaking routes and also good at outside routes, as shown when he beat Jamel Dean down the field, and Jamel Dean ran a 4.3 40. So I couldn't find a 40 time for his combine. I don't know if it was injury or what, but he has shown to have sub 4.4 speed on that play, at least in game film. And really the only thing keeping him from being the wide receiver two behind Olave is a 30-year-old wide receiver who has porcelain ankles and hasn't played 7 games since 2019. That is Michael Thomas. So there is a good chance he's going to miss some games. I mean, even if not, he could still have value. And I think he could provide wide receiver three numbers as the 72nd wide receiver coming off the board. So I think given how he's going to be on your bench, won't be a starter, he doesn't really cost that much. I don't think it hurts to take a flyer on him.
Right on. I dig it. You know, I mean, the guy could very well be the wide receiver too on an improved offense this year. Big playability. I've been grabbing him in some best ball as well, you know, for those spike weeks. So I love it. I'm going to start off with the stud then. If you're going to go with Rashid Shaheed, I'll go with my stud, and that's Stephon Diggs. A guy that I don't really like much in a vacuum, right? Like, he's aging, you know, he's a diva, and he's upset with the team and Kincaid, and is that going to eat into blah, blah, blah? I get it, right? But when we think about relative to other guys and where they're going, it's kind of a discount, right? So I have him as my wide receiver 11 in a tier of wide receiver 10 to 17. Going for two, he's our overall 12. You've got him at 14. The experts at DLF and Fantasy Pros, other sites, have him at 11-10. The community, KTC and Fantasy Calc, which gets their rankings by running through trades through their algorithm, right, has him at 15-13. And DLF ADP is 13. Bulletproof ADP that pulls from Sleeper is a little, I think, is a little sharper. It has him at 11. But what I'm talking about is he's going at 311, right? When you're seeing when you're seeing like Garrett Wilson at 204, when you're seeing Jalen Waddle at 207, and when you're seeing Stephon Diggs at 311, right? One pick before Devonta Smith, who I like, who's in that tier. He's my wide receiver 13, but he's that team's wide receiver too, right? He's going a round and a half after Wilson, Waddle, and Amon-Ra, right? If you take a quarterback and then Breece or JT or CMC there, you now have Diggs waiting for you in the third round as your wide receiver one, right? Or at least as a wide receiver one chip that if after the draft you don't look like you have a win-now team, you can certainly trade to a win-now team and you only spend a late third on it. He's going eight picks after Tyreek Hill, who's kind of a similar situation as far as like age and being in that tier, that clump of wide receivers. I get it, you know, the whole age thing, and is he a diva, and they're adding Kincaid, but I think also what Kincaid does is, and adding Damian Harris too, the offense, as scary as it might sound, might improve and might be more efficient, and it's going to open up certain things, right? Like they've been craving somebody over the middle, right? So if Kincaid, now the defenses have to pay attention, might open up things for Diggs and Shakir. Diggs opens up things for Kincaid, right? So like the addition of Kincaid on that type of offense for me isn't a bad thing. I think it's additive. I think it's a rising tide lifts all boats thing. And if I can get Stephon Diggs at 311, it's something that I might think about doing in a startup.
Yeah. So interesting point on that. I thought of while you were saying that. I also have Smith right behind Diggs, not enough two spots. So it's really weird having Diggs as my wide receiver one. I feel a lot better about even on a dynasty startup than I do with Devontae Smith. I somehow just feel like I could have done a lot better, even though long term I know Smith will be better. But I think that is because AJ Brown and the fact that you can get someone like that, or even that late, it's definitely, especially on a win now team, or really only on a win now team. If you're not trying to win now, it serves you no purpose to draft him. Yeah. But he's the perfect wide receiver one.
Right. Yeah. Who's your next guy?
My next one, I'm going to go with one of my studs and one of my favorite players, Marquise Brown. Mm-hmm. I think he's one of the more egregiously underpriced wide receivers. Fantasy Pros has him at wide receiver 30. Bulletproof ADP has him going at the end of the seventh round as wide receiver 34. I have him all the way up at 21.
Yeah.
And I should say he is in that tier of guys who any given day could, it moves around so much, but he is at the top of that tier. So looking on Twitter, David Galtieri, I hope I pronounced that right, he pointed out something pretty interesting. Comparing Marquise Brown to DK Metcalf, both of them have early draft capital. Both are 25 to 26, and both had 13 to 13.3 points per game last year. The main difference is one wide receiver group added a stud, and the other traded one away. So Marquise Brown is definitely the wide receiver one on that team. In weeks one through six with Kyler, he ended up being the wide receiver six overall, scored 18.6 points per game, and had a 26.6% target share. So he is able to be the guy there. It wasn't just because DeAndre Hopkins was opening things up. If he stays with Arizona, he's likely to have Kyler or Caleb Williams as a QB moving forward. So there shouldn't be any major QB issues for his career as long as he's there. And he still has elite 4.3 speed with actually underrated yards after catchability and making people miss.
Yeah.
So I think he could easily be a top 15 wide receiver, and getting him at 30, 34 is great.
You think he's cheap? Or I should say, how much of his cheapness now, his value, I think is based on Kyler missing time? And are you afraid that his value is going to dip at the beginning of the season? Like, I agree with you overall, he's egregiously undervalued, and I'm taking him there. I'm just wondering what your thoughts are about the whole Kyler Colt McCoy thing.
You know, honestly, I drafted a lot of Clayton Toon. I actually like Clayton Toon maybe to be the guy, because we know what we're getting for Colt McCoy. And I think if he wasn't the unanimous first receiving option, even with tight ends, anything, I would be a little more worried. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But they got to throw it to somebody, and he's the guy, and he's shown the ability to get open enough to be that guy. I mean, it will definitely be worse than if Kyler was there, but I think until Kyler comes and plays, I think he'll be fine still.
Yeah. All right, so I'm speaking of that tier of guys, I'm going to go with Brandon Ayuk. So I have a tier of 18 to 30, and then I have another tier of 31 to 40. And honestly, that tier break could be a soft tier break. Like, it could be an 18 to 40 as far as my tier goes. And it's an episode that we're going to do on Dynasty Fever, kind of unpacking that tier. And it's kind of like, well, just kind of take the guy you like the most that's going the latest, right? Like, or get the plus on top, right? And for me, Brandon Ayuk, I think, is a good candidate there. A guy who I have at wide receiver 19 in that tier of 18 to 30. Above consensus, I'm going for two. DLF, Fantasy Pros, who have him at 36 and 25. In Fantasy Calc, he's 26. He's going off on both DLF and Bulletproof ADP at wide receiver 29 at the 702 in Bulletproof ADP, right? CMC, I think, seemed to hurt Debo more than it hurt Ayuk. Ayuk had 114 targets last year. He was the wide receiver 14-15 in total fantasy points, depending on how you round up to like 227.8 or 228, right? His team picked up his fifth-year option, so, you know, they want to keep him. He's still 25, first-round draft capital. Any injury to Kittle or Debo or even CMC equals even more huge, like, contingency upside on a guy that I think you're already getting a value on. And so it's about finding value within that tier. He's going in the seventh, right? Here are wide receivers who are going in the fifth, right? Christian Watson, QJ, Addison, Judy, Pittman, DJ Moore, and Debo. Can you make a good case that those guys are two rounds better than Brandon Ayuk? I can't, right? I mean, and six-round wide receivers, it looks pretty ugly right now. I mean, I like Traylon Burks, but Burks, Pickens, and J-Mo in the sixth, or I could wait a little bit and take, you know, Ayuk, who's bunched now among wide receivers who I like less, like Terry McLaurin, Godwin, Ridley, Flowers, Dotson, and Hollywood. I like some of them. I like some of them a lot, but all of them less than I like Ayuk. So I don't know. I'd rather take Pollard or Ramondre in the fifth, Kittle, Goddard, Cousins, Goff, or Dobbins in the sixth, and then take my Ayuk in the seventh, rather than spend higher picks on wide receivers I don't like as much. What do you think about Brandon Ayuk? Oh, by the way, he said he's ready to take off this year. So that means it's, you know.
He didn't take off before. That is interesting. He's towards the end of that tier. I was just kind of looking. Mostly I have just some rookies and other guys ahead of him. Ahead of Ayuk, I have Christian Watson, Deontay Johnson, Addison, Flowers, and Burks. A lot of those guys are really young or rookies and could fall flat, and it won't take hardly anything at all for me to bump Ayuk up. But I think a lot of me having Ayuk a little lower is me being a little bit higher on Debo than a lot of people are, because Bulletproof ADP has him as wide receiver 24. I have him down like 15, 16. So I still think he has elite ability, but I think that's the main reason I'm just a little lower. But I still really like Brandon Ayuk. It's not like I don't like him. It's just that one tier where it's so close.
I am a little bit – I mean, it's player speak, but I am a little bit concerned that Debo said he was way off last year because of the contract things, and he's feeling better mentally and physically now. Yeah. So, you know, who knows. But I still think Ayuk is a value either way where he's being drafted.
Yeah. I definitely agree. My next one's going to be Khalil Shakir. He's going right around the range of Rashid Shaheed. He's Fantasy Pros 83rd wide receiver, going in the 18th round at wide receiver 83 on Bulletproof. And I have him up at 64, just three spots behind Shaheed. And I forgot to do this on last one, but guys that are going ahead of him and guys I would move to try and acquire Shakir, guys like Adam Thielen, Tyler Boyd, DJ Shark. Now, those three, I don't know how much fantasy value they have, but you still might be able to on a team trying to win. Michael Wilson, Tank Dell, Kayshon Boutte, and Odell Beckham Jr. somehow going ahead of Shakir. So if you can, I try and move some of those, maybe get a little something on top of Shakir. So if you can, that's a good way to get him. In my opinion, he's going to be the wide receiver on a great offense that throws a lot. And the only thing really keeping him from being the wide receiver too is Gabe Davis, who I think is extremely mid. I don't think he's great. He's good, not great. But I think Shakir has more talent and just overall not a boom or bust deep threat. He can slide into the slot, and he has 4.43 speed, which is really good with elite 10 and 20 yard splits. So I think he's going to be a perfect kind of slot receiver with Davis and Diggs on the outside. And I think the middle of the field is going to be open for him and Kincaid and maybe Knox. And where he's going, his cost is practically nothing. So it's worth taking a shot on a potential wide receiver too for Josh Allen. And he's honestly, most of the times I've acquired him, if not in a startup, is just by throwing him into a trade instead of like a third or fourth round and people just hit a sip. So he's really good to throw in on a trade because he doesn't have the value he should yet. And I think that'll be different after this year. So,
yeah. I mean, he's I looked at your list and I was like, oh shit. Like, those are all guys I want to use. So yeah, no,
I was worried about that.
I like Shakir a lot. So I'm going to go similar range there. I'm going to go with Darnell Mooney. I have him ranked at wide receiver 52. And a tier of 51 to 67. The tiers get a little bigger the lower I get in the rankings. And it's generally among consensus of the community as far as like where he's ranked on certain websites. But like when you start to look at like what managers are doing, KTC has him at 60, Fantasy Calc at 62, DLF ADP, so people who are drafting have him at 67, and 56 on Bulletproof ADP at the 1304. Right now, the case for liking Mooney, I mean, whatever, right? Like, you know, he's Darnell Mooney. Couple things. One, we were excited when he thought he might get peppered with targets when Allen Robinson left because we thought he was good, and he's good. He's kind of being forgotten about because of his injury, right? Like, he missed a lot last year, and when guys miss a lot, right, or there's other weird circumstances, like a guy we might not get to talk about tonight, Elijah Moore. Right. I almost don't even count last year as even having happened. You know what I mean? Yep. And so he's kind of being forgotten, I think. Another thing to think about, too, is, and I owe this to J.J. Zacharyson. He did some stuff on mobile quarterbacks and rookie quarterbacks. And then he did some stuff on like RPO quarterbacks and that sort of thing. And essentially, like, a mobile quarterback in general hurts position groups. But individual guys can shine for certain reasons, and RPO is one of them. Quarterbacks that run a lot of RPO, hyper-target, consolidate targets among a couple guys, right? So DJ Moore, Mooney, and like kind of Komet maybe are going to, I think, get peppered with targets. So there's a chance that he's in that consolidated, hyper-targeted group where they're going to have two or more guys that have 20% target share. It's possible. Then you throw on top of that, if you don't like the Bears offense, okay, well, Mooney's a free agent after this year, and they already drafted his replacement in Tyler Scott, ostensibly, so there's a chance he lands in a better spot next year. All right, so you're still not convinced. You're telling me he's three rounds worse than Kadarius Toney, two rounds worse than Gabe Davis, he's being drafted after Jalin Hyatt, right? One pick ahead of Sky Moore. You know, I think those guys are getting picked, and you could have, instead of those guys, Njoku, Kamara, Monty, Laporta, Connor, Ingram, Schultz, Dulcich, Chig, Tank, Khalil Herbert, Spears, and Roshan, and then get you some Mooney, right? Like, it's all about opportunity cost, right? So the cost of overdrafting, you know, a Gabe Davis or a Kadarius Toney, right, is that you could have one of those guys and Mooney and make out better.
Yep. No, I agree. Mooney's my second most rostered wide receiver. I was just looking on Dynasty Planet, so I'm drafting him a lot. He's usually my first or second person on the bench, so he's not even where he's going. You know, it's not a starting spot. So I really like him. And as Jamie pointed out, I think he's going to be better with DJ Moore there. I think it serves him better than him being the alpha receiver. I think seeing all that attention on defense, he's just not the player that's, you know, built to be able to beat double coverage. So I think he'll be a lot better with DJ.
And real quick, you know, you mentioned him being a bench piece. And I know there's people watching who are saying, what do I need my wide receiver five or six for? Who cares, right? Like, you draft a few wide receivers, then you load up on running back, and who the hell cares? And I get it, right? Like, we're not giving you – not everybody here is a stud. but it's about relative cost to what's on the board, right? Like, you're going to have a fourth, fifth, sixth wide receiver at some point, right? And if that guy is Darnell Mooney, it's a better chance that, especially if you start 11 or more, you know, it's a better chance with injuries and bye weeks that you're going to want to have him and one of the guys that, that other people are passing up on to pick Kadarius Toney than you are Kadarius Toney or Jalin Hyatt. So that's kind of where I'm coming from.
Yeah, and also, I mean, with Dynasty, bye weeks can really be a bitch. So, I mean, it's I think it's really good to have depth in all positions, not just running back. Because, I mean, before you know it, you could have two of your receivers and two other receivers in your flex on the same bye week. And then because you didn't care about drafting guys like, you know, Mooney, you're stuck without anybody. Mm-hmm. So I agree. All right, I'm going to jump to my most rostered wide receiver, John Mechie. Fantasy Pros has him ranked at 70. He's going in the 13th round, according to Bulletproof ADP, has the 58th wide receiver. So pretty big discrepancy there. And I have him at wide receiver 42. Out of the gate, he should be the wide receiver one or two in Houston. You know, they got a lot of, like, names people know, but I don't think any of them are super good outside of Nico Collins. You got Robert Woods, Noah Brown, and Tank Dell, who's a rookie. So I think he shouldn't have too much trouble getting targets. He was a four-star recruit, Alabama. He had 1,000 yards playing with Jameson Williams. And I think he's going to be the – him or Tank Dell are going to be the preferred slot route – slot guy for C.J. Stroud. And I think Mechie will be a little bit better because he's really good in space, makes quick cuts, breaks in and out of his routes. And, you know, the Texans – while they do have some good young talent, they're going to be playing from behind a lot, so they should have pretty heavy pass volume. So I don't think he should have any trouble getting targets and producing. I don't think he's going to miss a beat from having cancer either. So,
yeah, and talk about a guy who's being forgotten, right? Yeah. You know, like, I liked Mechie a lot. I was above consensus on him, going into the draft, and I think he's a good value now. And yes, you know, there is the worry about a rookie quarterback and that they lean on the running game and all that. But at the same time, it's a pretty wide open wide receiver group. So,
yep.
There's a real good chance that he definitely more than pays off where you're getting him in startups. I'm going to go back to that tier of 18 to 30 again and talk about Diontae Johnson. And I know a friend of the show, Thomas Tipple, his spidey sense is going off right now as we're talking about Diontae Johnson, who I have at wide receiver 25 in that tier of 18 to 30. DLF 31, Fantasy Pros 32, KTC 35, Fantasy Calc 35. His Bulletproof ADP is at the 809 at wide receiver 37. So again, he to me falls in with Ayuk and a guy I'm going to talk about in a minute or later, or Christian Kirk, as in, why am I spending a fifth, sixth round pick on guys like, although I like some of these guys in a vacuum, Christian Watson, Jerry Jeudy, Deebo Samuel, George Pickens, right? Chris Godwin, right? When in the eighth round, I could get Diontae Johnson. Hyper-targeted, is almost guaranteed to have some touchdown regression this year. Expected fantasy points per game last year was 14.2 versus actual 10.5. So, you know, he was on the bad side of variance. Like, you know, He's still going to be hyper-targeted. Najee Harris is going to get targets, right? But remember that, like, he was hyper-targeted by noodle-armed old Ben Roethlisberger, right? Like, Kenny Pickett, like, whatever, he's not great, but he doesn't have to hyper-target Najee Harris the way that, like, you know, Ben Roethlisberger did. The offense, we think, is going to improve. They did look better toward the end of the year, including Pickett and Najee, right? They improved their offensive line. I think Canada, even though they retained him, like, the word is that, like, they know, everybody knows the offense needs to change and get a little more innovative. It's a question of why are you taking certain guys two rounds earlier when you can get Diontae Johnson in the eighth round? So, very similar story to Ayuk and very similar to Christian Kirk, who I'll talk about a little later. I think Pickens also is overrated, his teammate. So I think there's a little bit of that going on too. So, yeah, give me all the Diontae.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm completely with you. The only reason I have him where I have him is just because I'm not the biggest believer in Kenny Pickett, but I still only have him two spots behind you. So if Pickett comes out and shows pretty vast improvements, you know, his value is going to skyrocket even past what it is because he's just an absolute target hog. So my last one, I'm going to kind of pair up two guys into this one because I think they're going similar and I think they have similar range of outcomes. And that's the Ravens wide receivers, Rashad Bateman and Zay Flowers. Both on Fantasy Pros, Zay Flowers is 34, Bateman 38. I have Flowers at 26 and Bateman at 36. Mm-hmm. And I think the two major factors that I'm higher on these guys is the Ravens moved on from Greg Roman, who he was very good at, you know, run schemes, but he didn't do a very good job of, you know, getting his putting his receivers and quarterback in good spots to make plays. Ran over 50% of the time. And now they switched to Todd Monken, who in 2022 led UGA to the number one offense in net points or net yards and total points. And I mean, under Monken, Stetson Bennett, who's extremely average, even in college, had 27 passing touchdowns and 10 rushing touchdowns. He was always in good positions, always was able to play action, have people wide open. And the biggest reason I'm very high on Todd Monken is the scheme he ran the most at UGA was a 12 package. That's one running back, two tight ends, and two receivers. He ran it 59% of the time. And I think with Likely, Andrews, Bateman, and Flowers, and even OBJ, that's a perfect scheme for the Ravens and Lamar to be able to open up the play action. And the other factor is it seems like they're wanting to run Lamar Jackson less given his injury history. So that does equal more pass attempts. So I think that's going to be nothing but good for them. So the case for Bateman really quick, first round draft capital out of Minnesota. The only thing that's really kept him from being on the field and seeing what he can do over a full season is injuries. That's also the only reason I have him a good bit lower. He hasn't been able to stay on the field, even including his senior year of college. But looking at it, he's actually the first outside wide receiver that can consistently win against DBs that I think Lamar Jackson has had that isn't over 30 years old. He was 74th percentile against the zone, 85th percentile against the man, and 81st percentile against the press. So he can win against all coverages. And his contested targets were 20% of his targets were contested, and he caught 81% of those. So he's really good over the middle. Zay Flowers. Similarly, high draft capital, but second round. At Boston College, he played 29% at the slot, 39% at right wideout, 26% at left. And he split up 58% to 41% behind the line of scrimmage and on. So yeah. I think that's going to translate well because he can literally play any wide receiver position, has experience at it, and you don't have to teach him how to play a new position.
Yeah, he's super versatile. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Really good success rate against zone. And against man and press at 73%. And he's just an explosive route runner. I think he's going to fit in perfect in the slot with OBJ and Bateman on the outside.
Yeah, I'm probably a little more in on the Bateman take than I am the Flowers take, but I can totally see it. For those of you who are Football Guys subscribers, Kevin Coleman wrote a really good piece on what the Monken offense might mean for the Baltimore Ravens pieces. So go check that out because he knows his college ball. Yep.
Much more than I sure. do. Yep.
My last guy, as I mentioned, is Christian Kirk. Christian Kirk he kind of seems like, Christian Kirk, vanilla, right? You know, but again, it's about what are you taking instead of him and where's the value, right? Okay, so his going for two composite ranking is 31. I have him below at 34. Right in that tier of 31 to 40, right? You have him at 36, DLF 37, Fantasy Pros 35, KTC 36, Fantasy Calc 38. His DLF ADP is 37, and his Bulletproof ADP is the 805 at wide receiver 36. So it's all in the neighborhood, right? It's not like anything is like, oh my God, I got this guy ranked 15, and he's being taken 48th, right? But again, it's about relative value. The only reason I have him as low as 34 is the recognition of the possibility of the mouths to feed argument in Jacksonville. But at the same time, Ridley, I think, first of all, may not be a huge threat in general because, you know, he only really had one elite season. It was without Julio Jones. He's not young. And he's probably more directly a threat to Zay Jones than to Christian Kirk, whose main role is like a really awesome slot receiver, right? So again, you're looking at those fifth and sixth and seventh round wide receivers that people are taking way ahead of guys like Kirk. You know, like I've said it over and over again, Watson, QJ, Burks, Pickens, right? Right. When you could be getting, you know, really good guys at other positions. He was the wide receiver 18 in points per game in 2022. He's on an ascending offense tied to Golden Boy Trevor Lawrence, quarterback, who so far loves throwing to the slot, especially in 2023. Kirk himself is still not 27, has a relatively secure contract. I would not be surprised if my conservative rating of him at 34 ends up looking kind of silly by like 10 spots by or more by the end of the season. You know, again, it's you know, you're getting him in the eighth round when people are taking Christian Watson three rounds ahead or QJ three rounds ahead or, you know, Pickens two rounds ahead. Why? Take other guys then and get the value guys here in that sort of big swath of wide receivers. If you can't make a super great argument that Christian Watson is going to far outperform Christian Kirk, then there's no reason to take him in the fifth and Christian Kirk in the when you can take Christian Kirk in the eighth. So I almost sound like a broken record, but yeah.
No, I agree 100%. I'm with you. I could look silly here having him even lower than you at 36. I don't understand why you take someone like Pickens, even Christian Watson or QJ, who has an extremely high, you know, high upside, but also high bust potential over someone, you know, solid. And, you know, he was wide receiver 18 in points per game. That's about as good as you can get, especially at 30. But I mean, I am forgetting that Christian Watson has more upside than Justin Jefferson. So.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I forgot about that. So real quick, just first of all, Jamie, we see you in the chat. We love you. We love your support. Both of us have a thing to get to after this, so we needed to do a really short episode. So we didn't put a lot of your chat up, and we apologize. I extra apologize because I'm busy. If I don't have a show, I'm busy when all the other Going for Two shows are on, and I never get to pop in the chat. Jamie is such a huge supporter of all the shows. We really appreciate it. And to show you a little bit of that appreciation, one of the honorable mentions that I wanted to throw out there for tonight was Elijah Moore as another value option, being taken at wide receiver 46 at the 11:02, six rounds after some of those guys we were talking about. He's already flashed in his rookie year. Cleveland wants to pass more, et cetera, et cetera. And shout out to Dr. Jim, part of the Going for Two family, who I agree with. He identified Curtis Samuel, and I'm going to use him as an honorable mention, being drafted at wide receiver 86 in the 19th round, like 20 spots below where I have him ranked. When you're looking at, he got targeted well when Heinicke wasn't in there last year, because Heinicke only loved Terry McLaurin. But when it was anybody but Heinicke, like he was getting good targets. He can be used as a rusher. Bienemy, you know, he's implementing Andy Reid's offense, but he's going to be more creative. You know, and he's getting drafted in the same round as Kyle Trask, Jeff Wilson Jr., Zamir White, Terrace Marshall, Raheem Mostert, and Daniel Bellinger. Folks, what are we doing? Yeah. Okay, fine. Pound your RBs for a few rounds. I get it. And then get your Curtis Samuel in the 19th round.
Yeah, I have Curtis Samuel right at 58th around Jacoby Myers, Nico, and Shahid. So,
yeah.
I mean, I'm way more above market like you are. So,
and a guy like him and Tyler Boyd, right? Like, these are guys who, if one of the outside guys gets hurt or whatever, then the contingency upside you also are getting as part of the value package. So, you know, in the end, what it really comes down to for me is, Josh, let me ask you a question. Which team would you rather come out of the first eight rounds of your startup with? We'll say in the first round, you take a quarterback. I'll give you a mid first rounder, Herbert, T-Law, Lamar, whoever you want out of that bunch, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you get one of Amon-Ra and Waddle, Stroud, Tua, Daniel Jones, Etienne, Najee, Watson, QJ, Pickens, Burks, Rashad White, Terry McLaurin, and Freiermuth Pacheco. right? Like that kind of vibe. Or do you get the Brian value wide receiver team where you can get the same quarterback, but then get Breece, CMC, Watson, or Dak, follow that up with Diggs, follow that up with Hock or DK, follow that up with Pollard, Ramondre, Javonte, Chubb, DJ Moore, or Pittman, follow that up with Kittle, Cousins, Goff, or Goddard, follow that up with Ayuk, follow that up with Deontay or Kirk. See what I'm saying? You're sacrificing, you know, by overdrafting Waddle and Amon-Ra and then having to have your second quarterback be Tua or Daniel Jones, right? And then taking Watson in the fifth round. Like, you're sacrificing value at other – you're sacrificing production and buying power at other positions. And you can get similar wide receivers at much later. So I know I went through that fast. I know people hate when I talk through long lists fast. I get it. I'm autistic. It happens. But, like, you get what I'm saying, right?
Yeah. No, definitely. And, I mean, the drafts I've been doing lately, it's just hard for me, but I haven't been touching running back till around 6 or 7. But I'm able to do that by getting 2 quarterbacks, some tight ends, and reeking up some of the value that wide receiver there is, mm-hmm. you know, around 4, 5, 6, 7. And then – get cheap David Montgomery, you know, as running back. So,
and I would say also, if folks are going to do it, make any of this actionable with this value wide receivers, I think do it now because, mm-hmm. Okay. So how can I put it? Like the running backs that are getting to be values because of like people hate running backs and they're overdrafting wide receivers. They're going to be more expensive the closer we get to the end of the offseason, to the season, right? Yeah. So, you know, some of those running backs are going to jump a couple rounds. And then the difference between a Watson and a Kirk, right, a Pickens and a Deontay is going to be smaller, right? So what we're saying here is in this sort of time of the calendar, right, there's running back value because people are overdrafting wide receivers, right? But there's also value wide receivers sitting there because people are overdrafting wide receivers. And I don't know that both of those will be true later on in the offseason. I hope that made sense.
Yeah, no, definitely did. Yeah, it makes perfect sense. And I think laying it out like that just shows the value you can get, like getting Diggs. You still get Hawk and still, you know, have 3 or 4 strong wide receivers that are could be wide receiver 2s or 3s.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, that just about does it for us in a sort of condensed episode as we both surprisingly have sort of a life on Saturday night after our show is over. Please make sure you subscribe, rate, and review the Going for Two Live podcast feed on the audio. Please make sure that if you watch it here on YouTube, either now or later, that you subscribe to the channel, like the video, comment on the video, feed the algorithm. Also, please make sure that you check out goingfor2.com for the PLPs, Personal League Podcast. Also, when you go to goingfor2.com, little bottom right purple Discord thing, hop in there. Not only do we have great conversations going on, but we're churning out Scott Fishbowl mocks like, you know, every other, you know, 42 seconds between Jeff and Gator and a couple other people. So there's always a mock to hop in. There's a channel for every draft spot, etc. That's really on and popping, so make sure you go there. We got a show just about every night of the week for you, too, here on YouTube, even in the off season. Time for plugs. Josh, where can we find you and your work?
Yeah, you can find me at Twitter, at Rotonaut, R-O-T-O-N-A-U-T, and you can find all my rankings and everything on goingfor2.com. And one last note before we close mm-hmm. this out.
Yeah, sorry.
No, you're good. Trade. If you have Pickens and Quentin Johnson, go and trade him to the idiot on Twitter saying Deontay Johnson's not even the best wide receiver. Go trade that and get a second or third round on top and reap the rewards. So trade the young wide receivers who haven't even played it down yet for proven guys who are still 26, 27.
Absolutely. All right, you can find me at FFJunkie_ on the Twitters, articles and rankings at goingfor2.com. I got a couple videos up at RPO Football's YouTube channel. I'm going to be doing a little bit more for them as the offseason goes on. I got a big thing, big project going here at Going for Two with like a 4-part series on Dynasty running backs. Also Dynasty Fever podcast. We do that midweek at Dynasty Fever Pod. It's an audio only. We've kind of taken the last couple weeks off because life happened a couple times. But, you know, we're doing all right. And yeah, so as always, we really do appreciate people spending time watching, listening, and you know, and obviously also interacting in the chat, Jamie and everybody else. So yeah, that's a wrap. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. And
go Irish, and go Braves.
Mother, you know, it's the Braves part is starting to piss me off more than the Irish part. But I don't even really watch baseball anymore.
Yeah,
I just,
I'll keep that in mind.
Just remember, like being a teenager. In early 20s in the 90s and just hating the Braves because I was dumb enough to like the Mets. So
yeah, hey, you reap what you sow.